now, live to tape, The Edge of Time.
Well, jump right on in because it is time. Yeah, to dress ourselves in light and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time again for another edition of It Is Time. Hello, my name is Ed Gutfeld. We're glad you're here and joining us in on this podcast and enjoying the presence of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Why? Because we're on the right side of time. It is time again for a timely broadcast in the times and seasons of our life, in the times of the Gentiles. And that's where God's clock is right now. So we want to just go ahead and tell time the right way. And that's by looking at the Word. And the Word tells us what time it is. It's time to believe. It's time to receive. It's time to put our hand to the plow and not turn back. And that is what this program is all about. It's Right Now Radio. It's timely messages that will grip your soul and cause you to rise up and do what's right. And that's what we want to do in this very day and in this very hour. We want to go ahead and get to our sponsor for this half hour right away. Here it is.
No, honey, I agree. We should be seeking eternal answers about life. But the question is where? I mean, no way am I going to some online do-it-yourself guru or some $600 a weekend, you're all God's crackpot. Isn't that right, little buddy? Yeah, I'm not looking for some hyped-up, frenzy-based super church either. Tell me where I can get some truthful answers with honesty and purity. I'll be there today. The whole family. And that means you too, little guy.
Yeah, talk to Jesus. He's been leading people into the truth and life for 2,000 years. It's his book, the Bible. It has all his simple truths that bring families together for a safe, simple, and secure eternal life. Talk to Jesus. He's the way. Yeah, the Bible's our sponsor for this first half hour. We're glad to have that. And we're also glad to have Steve Mitchinson here. It's time for the Reign of God. We're going to be talking about the loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But right now, let's enjoy this. It's time.
It's time for the Reign of God. It's time for your light to shine. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. It's time for authority. It's time for your majesty. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. In these days,
lift up a prayer of faith. We proclaim the mighty word of God, the power in your name. So we gather in the spirit, we lift up a prayer of faith. We proclaim the mighty word of God, the power in your name, the power in your name.
It's time.
That's Steve Mitchinson, and it's time for the reign of God. That's what it is right now. Very, very punctual. It's time. I mean, if you couldn't get better timing than that. It's time for God to reign in our hearts and our minds and put the pedal to the metal, you know, and just trust his word and trust his name. We're going to talk today about loving God. You know, there's one thing to talk about the love of God. It's another thing to talk about loving God. I heard a testimony last night from a brother that I'd seen for many years, but been struggling and time after time, you know, just trying to hold on. And when I spoke to him last night, he had fire in his eyes. He was just, he had a scripture in his heart, and you could tell that there was a fire in his belly. And so I asked him, what's going on? And he said, hey, well, there's a scripture that really just went off in my heart. And I said, well, tell me what it is. And it's that scripture in the book of Luke, or rather Mark. It's actually in Luke 2. It's also in Deuteronomy. And it's Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. This is the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God. You get that? Notice what it says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like it, namely this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than this. Now, Jesus answered this as he was being questioned, but the truth nonetheless is, you know, in Deuteronomy 6, he said, hear, O Israel, hear the word of the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And so loving God becomes paramount. And this brother was just lit up like a Christmas tree, as we say. And it was just awesome to me because there was a definite change in his countenance, a definite change even in the way he stood. It hit my heart so strong that we should talk about this and just emphasize the fact of loving God. You know, so often we want God to do things and we want God to change this and do this, and our prayers are often centered around that, and that's okay, because he said, you have not because you ask not, and you ask not, you receive not when you ask because you ask amiss. And so he said, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. God wants us to come to him in prayer. So we're definitely not against praying and asking God. But, you know, it does say, though, in Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And so we want to love God. And what does it take to love God? Well, I was thinking about this, and I think one of the things that is true about the Word of God. If you study it for very much, you'll find out something that is so wonderful. In the book of 1 John, it tells us that there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. And so what's that all lead to? Well, the next verse in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Man, that's amazing. That's amazing. We love him because he first loved us. When he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God." Why could he do that? Because God told Israel, "You're the apple of my eye. You know, you're everything to me." There's a lot of emphasis of God's judgment, so forth, in the Old Testament, and there were many instances of it. But what people neglect to see is that God, you know, he gathers his people like a mother hen gathers his chicks, and he cares for them. And you read in the book of Psalms, you read in the book of Deuteronomy, you read in the book of Genesis, you read all these places where God is a loving God and always has been, always will be. And the reason we stray from the love of God is we stray from God, and we start looking at man and looking at images like man, and we try to compare God to man, and that can't be done. God is one. There's only one. You have to look at him specifically. Now, you can find it in images such as marriage that is done beautifully. It's an image of Christ in the church, and a father that loves his son or daughter in such a way, or a mother that loves his son or daughter in her son or daughter in such a way that you can see the father's eyes and the father's care in that. But God is only one, and you got to look to him and see, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Just knowing that the Almighty has a shadow to hide you in, and he hides you in his secret place. Oh yeah, he'll hide you and you'll dwell in that secret place. So we want to love the Lord our God. That's what happened to this guy. You say, well, how did that happen to him? Well, he got that scripture in Mark and began to just meditate on it and just begin to think about it over and over and over and over. And pretty soon it got inside his heart. And you know, this is the key. When you plant a seed, the seed grows up. If you don't watch out, you know, weeds are blown around by the wind. And seeds of weeds are blown around by the wind. What is that? The seeds of weeds are people talking. Yeah, the winds of doctrine are flying around. And is in you know, and they fly from one neighborhood to the next, and they'll land inside your garden. And that's why you say, well, I didn't plant any weeds. You don't have to plant them, really. They just get blown around, and they find a place in our heart because we get offended, we get hurt, and it's actually getting planted, and we don't even know it. And so bitterness can spring up and trouble you that way. But the things that are positive, we usually have to plant on purpose, by listening to the right thing, being with the right people, and so forth. So we got to plant the right seeds. And this scripture just got into his heart and now is bearing fruit and delivering him from fear. And he's able to sleep through the night, and he was having insomnia and all kinds of things. And I'm just so happy for him, you know. This song is called Love Is, and it's by Barry McGuire. And I just appreciate this song. We shall love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, love is gentle, love is kind, and love is given, but it's not blind. And love is choosing for rejecting the wrong. love is keeping his commands. Greater love had no man than he laid down his life for a friend. Love never ends. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. Love is quiet, love is strong, and love is patient, suffering long. Where love lives, there is no as thyself.
As Barry McGuire and Love Is. This is Lincoln Brewster, Love the Lord. It's the same verse, just sung in a different way. A little bit more happier, I should say. We get to love our God. You get to love your God. Come on, fall in love with your Savior. Give Him your heart.
With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all.
That's Lincoln Brewster. Love the Lord. All of our mind, all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. It's good to give everything over to God. That way you don't have to take inventory every day. You just give it all to Him. And why? He is the great author and finisher of our faith, and He begins to do great things in our life. That's what makes life worth living. Yeah, praise the Lord. All right. You know, there's the story in the Bible, in the book of Mark, and Jesus said this. He said, Mark 10, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. You know, we're told to receive the kingdom as a little child. What is a little child? He's trusting, he's innocent. And there's such an element of love, ready to receive, ready to give. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them, talking about the little children. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And that was absolutely true. Jesus didn't say he didn't do it. And so Jesus answered and said to him, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now, see, this is the important part here. Jesus is loving him, and he loved him first. He said unto him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." Now, verse 22 in Mark 10 says, "He was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter in to the kingdom of God?" And the disciples did not say, "Yeah, see, I told you. I told you those rich guys are going to the bad place." No, the disciples were astonished at his words. And they said, Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" You see, it's not the possessions, it's trusting in the possessions. It's okay for you to have possessions, but do the possessions have you? Possessions are nothing but a rate of exchange. I mean, you know, all things belong to God, and you're the steward over possessions. If God tells you to release it, release it. And obviously, the Lord was talking to this man and said, "Hey, it's time to release those things. You're asking me a question. What must I do?" "Okay, I'm going to tell you what to do." He said, "Well, I've done all that." And the Lord said, "Yeah, okay, now I want you to do one other thing. All right, I want you to go ahead and take what you have and sell it. Give it to the poor, take up the cross and follow me." And then he got sad. He got sad. And why? Because he felt the Lord was asking too much. How can God ask too much? Number one, he didn't understand how much the Lord loved him. He didn't know how to love God. He knew how to keep laws, but he really wasn't loving God. And that's the whole point of this broadcast today, is loving God. And what keeps us from loving God is our perspective of God, or number one, our perspective of God. We haven't been taught right. We thought he was only a God of judgment and a God of laws. So we need to hear about the love of God. God so loved the world. If you haven't heard about that, we got to tell you about it. That's the good news. And he's not holding your sins against you. And he's giving us an opportunity to call on his name. But number two, there's also things in our heart that are full of pride and arrogance and junk in our own kingdom. And we want to be king of our kingdom, king of our time, king of our talent, king of our treasure. And we want to be the dispensary of it rather than letting God just reach down in our heart and say, "Hey, I need you to do this today. But Lord, that's a great possession of mine." Lord says, "Yeah, but I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I can give you another one." And that's where we have to, you know, realize this man got sad. Jesus was offering him discipleship. He was offering him most likely apostleship. And he turned it down. He got sad. And he began to think about himself. Oh, Lord, I can't do that. Oh, what about my life? What about me? And that place of pity, where you begin to pity yourself, that gets into an area where you're robbing from God. And you're not loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And therefore, you can't love your neighbor as yourself, because if you don't love God, you ain't going to be able to love your neighbor any more than you love God. In fact, the way you love your neighbor is the way you love God. God loves you enough to where you can start loving your neighbor. And so we need to see and understand that when we yield to the love of God, things begin to happen. And the Lord on the cross dealt a blow to the things that would keep us from loving God so we can reach out. There's an older song by Leon Patillo that I enjoy, and it's a bit different. It's kind of this 1980s space age type stuff that was going on at the time, but that's all right. It's Love is Calling. And we're doing most of our songs about loving God himself, but I wanted to do this one that I just feel we need to just stop right where we are. This is called Right Now Radio. Stop right where you are and listen. Love is calling. The cross has been accomplished, and God is doing something great in our lives, and he wants to grab your heart like that disciple and said, come and follow me. Don't let your possessions hold you back. Don't let your time hold you back. Don't let the things that are grabbing you on this earth hold you back. Let my love take you to someplace higher, in the mighty name of Jesus. This is Love Calling, Leon Patillo.
Your praise.
That's Leon Patillo and Love Calling. Love is calling us right now. That's the voice of God on the inside of us, calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light, calling us out of that little small place that we call our kingdom and calling us into his great kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is among us, and so we can yield to his voice. You know, one of the greatest things that hinders us from flowing in the love of God is self-pity. And, there's one thing to have, like the rich young ruler. He had great possessions. And those great possessions had him. And they were keeping him from going forward in God, even though he knew, standing right in front of the Son of God, the Son of the living God standing right in front of him. You know, people say, if God would just tear open the skies and write his name, I'd know he's real. No, you wouldn't. You know, somebody would say that, there was a conspiracy and foreign governments opened the sky, et cetera, et cetera. There's no way. The only sign God's given us is the sign of resurrection when Jesus rose from the dead, because a true and honest heart must admit that Jesus rose from the dead. He's not Baha'u'llah. He's not Muhammad. He's not Confucius. And he's not any of these other leaders or these teachers or these gurus or these so-called spiritual leaders who would speak of spiritual greatness and spiritual things and spiritual principles and yet miss the most spiritual thing that ever happened on earth. How could you be a true seeker of the Lord and miss the message that Jesus brought to the earth? And that was that it was appointed for every man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And people would say, no, I'm gonna strike a blow to that. I'm going to teach that you can come back again and again and again, reincarnation. And the Lord says, no, and I'm going to show you that I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise the third day. And I told you about this 700 years before I came, 1,500 years before Jesus came to the earth. Even in the Garden of Eden, it was prophesied that there would come one who would rise from the dead. Right in the Garden of Eden, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, God intervened. He told the serpent, you get out of the way. I'm going to send one who's going to deal a death blow to you. And I'm going to send a redeemer. That's the first thing that came out of God's mouth. He didn't get mad at Adam. He didn't get mad at Eve. The first thing that came out of God's mouth was a prophecy of what God was going to do to rectify the situation. Why? Because God is love. And God gives us hope no matter what. Even when there's judgment, God gives us hope. And so when the Lord came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they had sinned, he said, yeah, you're going to have some trouble. Yeah, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Yeah, there's going to be all these things that happen. But I want you to know something. He spoke to the serpent. He said, because you have done this, you're cursed. He said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, it shall bruise your head. The seed of the woman is going to bruise his head. That was in the Garden of Eden. That was right when they did the most harmful thing to the relationship they had with God. He said, there's a seed coming, it's going to bruise your head. That's right there at the very beginning. So God has been saying these things ever since he began his creation with mankind. The love of God is calling us. And you can hear it right now. I know you can. You can hear it. You can hear God calling you. And he's calling us to get past the pity, past the self-analyzation, past our own kingdom, and get into a place of faith, hope, and love. And talk about the love of God and tell God how beautiful his love is. Because you know what? His love is beautiful. His love is great. This is Hillsong, and this is a lively song about the love of God. God, I want you to know your love is beautiful. There's nothing on this earth like the love of God. Let it sink into your heart. Let it grip your soul and realize how beautiful the love of God is.
Surrounding me.
Your love is beautiful. That is Hillsong. What a powerful song all around the world. Let the praise begin. We're singing about the love of God. We're saying, God, we love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Glory to God. Let's go and hear from our sponsor this half hour. It's the wonderful people.
This half hour is 2Core 10:4. Has your mind been plagued and bombarded with the high traffic of vain imaginations? Have the thoughts and accusations from the father of lies been jamming and congesting the freeways of your mind? Do human reasonings and haughty intellectual arrogance overcrowd and clog the corridors and throughways of your thinking? Then it's time you try 2Core 10:4. 2Core 10:4 was first introduced by the Apostle Paul around 56 AD. 2Core 10:4 carries the anointing of God and has been overpowering mental congestion for centuries. Known by its full name, 2 Corinthians 10:4, this passage of spirit and life has been eliminating stress and anxiety through its authoritative casting down power. Yes, the thoughts are cast down when the believer addresses them so in the mighty name of Jesus. When this gospel is applied, the mental traffic and congestion is cleared up and all thoughts of peace prevail. When 2Core 10:4 is on the job, the traffic report is clear and smooth sailing. You can find 2Core 10:4 in the New Testament in the book of 2 Corinthians, right after 1 Corinthians and just before Galatians. 2Core 10:4, a spiritual weapon to fight and beat the mental traffic jam. Apply it today and be at peace in moments.
This is a public service announcement of Citizens Against Pity Party, Party City.
Something must be done. This has to be stopped.
Pity parties are threatening our cities. Mr. D. Satan must be stopped.
There's only one solution.
The blood of Jesus overcomes self-pity.
We saw the expansion of Pity Party Party City by Mr. D. Satan as a threat to the welfare of our people. And we're taking action, fighting against plans for more Pity Party Party Cities.
Well, if they think they can just skate into our town and triple nuts over our people and the fine outlook on our future because of the blood of Jesus, then I say Pity Party Party City has truly underestimated the weapons of our warfare.
We view the bold attempts of Pity Party Party City's expansion as an out-and-out effort to steal the hope and the vision away from each citizen.
As mayor of this city, we're taking action. We're arming each citizen with the promises of God. We're taking the It Is Time broadcast and sharing it with everyone. We're spreading the news of Team Edify and enlisting our townspeople to rise up and edify one another. We will run Mr. D. Satan out of our town and forbid the expansion of these Pity Party Party Cities. We will be edified by God and not taken over by self-pity.
Yes, you too can take a stand against the expansion of Pity Party Party Cities in your town. Let's edify one another and be pity-free.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by It Is Time podcast and the good people at Team Edify.
Hello, this is Ed Gutfeld, and I want to announce to you that there's a new team in town. It's Team Edify. We're running out the bullies of fear, doubt, and despair because Team Edify is taking over. This team is called to build up, strengthen, and cause to overcome. We're calling for 1 million men and women, boys and girls, to lock arms and declare the word of edification in our homes, schools, on the job, in the church, and throughout the marketplaces of the world. We are a simple yet mighty team who have made a decision that each and every day we will receive edification for our lives, bring edification to those around us, and give edification away to someone new each and every day. As a team member, you will receive our unique and colorful Edify button, a lifetime membership card, daily prayer, and access to daily edification through videos, testimonies, and social network. To join the Edify revolution, simply log on to edifyforlife.org and follow the simple steps. We live in troubled times full of deception, lies, and depression, but we can make a difference bearing the glad tidings of edification. Again, the website is edifyforlife.org. Join in today. Be one in a million at edifyforlife.org. That's edifyforlife.org.
Well, thank you for listening and taking advantage of that. That's edifyforlife.org. go on there, log on, and get involved. Get your button. It's only a dollar, you know, and it's $1 for one button, but we touch many, many lives. And we've seen some very, very powerful results of just wearing a button, being able to talk to people about something greater than the depression, the doubt, the unbelief, and all the garbage that's going on. We're talking about edification. And speaking of edification, we were talking about the rich young ruler who was sad. Oh, he got sad because he had great possessions, wouldn't follow the Lord. His love only went so far. And then it stopped. And his so-called love for God was always wrapped up, obviously it was wrapped up in something that he could get. It wasn't completely love that lets go. You know, when you know somebody will love you unconditionally, that's amazing. That's what real love is anyway. But his love had a limitation on it. And his love said, no, I can't let go of this thing. I can't let go of this little deal over here. I can't let go of this little deal over there. So his love was had a limit on it. And but there was one guy in the Bible where Jesus came to his house, and he was sitting up in a tree because he was a small of stature. He wanted to see over the crowd Jesus. And Jesus came to the place. He looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. You know what Jesus said? He said, Zacchaeus, it's time. It is time. That's what he said to him. He said, it is time to make a change, and I'm going to come over to your house. And so Zacchaeus said, okay, Lord, it is time. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he's gone to be with a guest, with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. I have taken anything, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to your house, for as much as you are also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus was telling Zacchaeus, hey, it is time. And Zacchaeus said, okay, Lord, it is time. And change happened. He didn't say, Lord, I have great possessions. He didn't say, Lord, I can't do that. He said, Lord, you're right. It is time. And I'm going to yield to the Son of God. In essence, he was saying, I love you, Lord, because you know what? You love me. You love me first. 1 John 4 tells us we love him because he first loved us. Jesus is reaching out right now with his love. And he wants you to love him back. I love you. Because you love me. This is I Love You by the Winans.
Some help. That's the Winans. I love you because you love me. Hallelujah to God. He loved us. We love him because he loved us. You know, Zacchaeus in the book of Luke is just an amazing story. Luke 19, if you want to look it up. You know, he just said, Lord, that's it. You know, all it took was just having a moment with Jesus. And, you know, when you have that time with the Lord, when you really hear from heaven, you didn't hear, it's not hearsay about. You know, one time I was talking to a guy about God, and he asked me, he said, why do you do this? Why do you serve the Lord? Why do you? And I said, well, I said, he loved me first. And I said, you know, it really came to my heart when I heard about the resurrection of the Lord and started looking at the resurrection to see that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, he's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And he's a living Savior. He's a living Lord. And I began to talk to him, and he said to his friend, do we believe in the resurrection of the Lord? And he had to ask this guy if he believed in it because of their religious beliefs. And boy, if you have to ask somebody else what you believe, that's a very poor system of belief to begin with. And that's just what a lot of people have. They have a dead religion, a dead relationship. They have a concept that God is a concept to them. God is not the Lord who lives and who talks to them and walks with them. The Bible said that, you know, that he will walk in us and he will talk in us. He was talking to the Corinthian church. He said, you know why you're so bound up in sin? You don't even know your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will walk in you and I'll talk in you. He said, come out from among them. Why? Because light doesn't fellowship with darkness. Not because, you know, this is a religious law and you don't keep this religious law, you're going to be punished. Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, you know, if you drive 100 miles an hour down the street, you're probably going to get in a wreck. If the cliff is there and you're driving straight and you don't stop, you're going to go over the cliff. Sin will do that to you. Sin, all sin, let me just say this to you, all sin is a form of insanity because it kills, it steals, it destroys. It hurts somebody, and it's going to hurt you, but it'll hurt somebody else as well. All sin is selfish, and we can't give up that little kingdom of self, so we just grab onto it. But Jesus looks in with fire in his eyes, and he looks at us, and he said, I love you first. Even while you were dead in trespasses and sin, he said, I love you. And that's why we can sing songs of love to God that, you know, some people would say, well, this sounds, you know, love the Lord, love the Lord, love the Lord. It sounds so, it's almost like a romance novel. No, it's not a romance novel. It's true. It's real. We could sing of his love forever. There's a great song written by Delirious. It's been copied so many times, and so many people do it, and they ought to do it because it's just one of those songs that just absolutely goes over the top and says, God, I just can sing of your love. Your love is amazing. The real love of God is here right now. I want to pray for you. We're going to sing this song, I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. But I want you to be absolutely inundated with the love of God. Just like somebody take a beautiful tub of liquid love and just pour it all over you on the inside. You just get filled up with the love of God. Father, right now we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you that Zacchaeus just spent a little bit of time with you. And he said, Lord, I want to restore. I want to go tell everybody I'm sorry. I want to go out and do something great. I want to go edify the world. And God, I thank you. That's what you've put in our hearts because you love us so much. And that love changes us. We don't want to do the wrong things. We don't want to hurt ourselves anymore. We don't want to hurt other people. We want to bless the Lord. We want to say, Lord, I want to love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength. Loving God with everything that we have. Praise the Lord. And nothing I hold dear to myself as my own possession. It all belongs to you. God, let's go out and do something great for eternity. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. This is Delirious. I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. Amen.
over the mountains and the sea. Your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart, let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down, yeah. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing.
Yeah, that's delirious. I could sing of your love forever. An amazing, beautiful song of faith, hope, and love for our God. You know, I thought maybe it was a strange thing when I first got saved that you could sing love songs to God. It just doesn't, you know, necessarily appeal to the to every heart exactly the same way. But once you get to know the Lord, that's what love is all about. Loving God. And then being able to love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, you think you can love your neighbor as yourself without loving God, but it's very difficult. But once you get free, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. You begin to love God, and you begin to just pour it out. Oh, there's so many things we can go from here. Maybe we'll do part two tomorrow. I don't know. But loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, loving God with everything you have, that's what it's all about. And then being able to tell it. Go tell somebody.
Said it on the mountain, yeah, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That's what we got to do. We got to go tell it.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere.
Don't keep it to
go
yourself.
Tell it on the
we
got to
go tell it.
That
Jesus Christ is Lord. That's right.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere.
Come on, let's all do it. Let's all do it.
Come on, go
tell it on the mountain, yeah, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
There's no one like our Jesus. That's why we got to go tell it. Amen. Well, we're out of time. But always remember that time doesn't stop. It is time. It's New Testament time. To keep shouting the victory. Tell somebody. You gotta keep telling it. that it's time to rise up and declare the greatness of our God. Amen. Till next time, this is Ed Gutfeld saying, don't put it off. Don't put anything off. Get out and do it. Why? Because it is time.